Welcome to Soulful Insights, where we break free from trauma, reclaim our power, and step into full spiritual sovereignty through breathwork, hypnotherapy, and subconscious reprogramming. I'm your host, Tandy, and today we're diving into a sacred and life-changing journey, the process of reclaiming your voice after being silenced. Whether it was an oppressive religious background, a patriarchal family, an abusive marriage, or a work environment that dismissed you, this episode is for every woman who has ever been made to feel small, unheard, or powerless. What happens when a woman who's been silenced finally speaks? What happens when she stops playing small, stops apologizing, stops fearing judgment, and steps into her full power? She becomes unstoppable. And today we're going to talk about how you can become that woman. Now, I will say, as we get started into this podcast, when you start speaking up for yourself, when you stop playing small, when you stop apologizing, those people that benefit from you staying silent, playing small, apologizing, they are not going to take it well. Because there may be people in your life, whether it is in your religious community, whether it is your partner in your relationship or other family members, it is a part of this speaking up and stepping into your power is allowing some of those relationships to fall into the background. And at times, we have to allow these relationships to fall away. And only you can decide how you want that to play out for yourself. But today, we are going to look at how you can start embracing your voice after you have been silenced for a long time. So I want to just give you a little overview of what we'll be discussing. We'll be talking about why women are systematically silenced in families, workplaces, relationships, and religious communities. The psychological and emotional impact of being unheard, and how you can start healing from that. How to rebuild your confidence and your self-worth after years of being overlooked, dismissed, or controlled. The sacred process of reclaiming your voice and standing in your power in relationships, family, and the world. Now, I will say, as far as in your religious communities, that is not really something that we have control over. They consider that to be of God. They consider it to be doctrine, and therefore a woman sharing her voice in religious communities is generally not an option. It was definitely not in mine, and still today I am watching reels coming out from high up church leaders and other people saying that women are leaving religion and claiming that women are leaving religion because they want to be worldly and they are not willing to sacrifice for their families anymore. And the reality is, we're leaving religion because we're tired of being silenced and dismissed and told that we have no power, we have no authority, and we just must be obedient. So I also want to help you in the end just discuss a little about having the courage to leave toxic environments, walking away from patriarchal religions, oppressive family values, and unhealthy relationships. And this is the thing, as I'm saying, walking away from patriarchal religion. This is the biggest way that women can reclaim their voice. It's the way that I reclaimed mine. And in fact, even my marriage, when we both left a high demand, extremely patriarchal religion and looked back, it was like our eyes opened to how much it controlled our relationship. My relationship with my husband has blossomed into something so beautiful. Because we are partners. And I notice him carrying laundry downstairs and just doing all of the laundry. I notice him putting dishes away and being an actual partner, because there's no longer these rules of what each gender has to do or can or cannot do or whatever. It's so beautiful, and it's so beautiful in so many other ways. And so I want to just give you that insight into how your life can change when you start making these changes. It can be painful at first. some relationships in my life have changed and have kind of gone into the background. Obviously not my marriage, because my husband is with me. He is loving. He's amazing. But there are other family members that I don't talk to that much anymore. I don't have a lot of connection with. And it's because they would rather I stay silent. They would rather I stay small, and they would rather me be obedient to their ideas of the way you should live your life. And I refuse to do so. So let's move into religious conditioning and the suppression of female voices. Now, if you didn't grow up in religion, if you're not a religious person, this part may not necessarily resonate with you, but I still think it's important for women to understand what other women are going through and what they are experiencing. So even if this may not be technically your experience, I think it will be important. Because women's suggestions and ideas are dismissed and ignored in corporate America as well, not just religion. However, many religious teachings glorify women's silence, submission, and obedience. They consider them virtues. Women are told to defer to male authority, suppress their own desires, and serve quietly. Now, they kind of veil this in this idea of benevolent patriarchy. They will say that men and women are different, but they're equal. They're not equal. If a woman can't be a pastor, if a woman can't teach men over the age of 11, it ain't equal. If the husband is the leader, then they'll say the man is a, quote, servant leader, which doesn't mean anything, because it doesn't change how much he helps with the domestic labor. It doesn't change how much he actually engages in raising his own children. It does not make him a partner to his wife. Being a servant leader just basically means I'll be nice to you while I have domination over you, is literally what it means. And they'll use scriptures like 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35, women should remain silent in the churches, that type of a thing. This has been weaponized against women for centuries. And the funny thing is, if you actually talk to Bible scholars, these verses were added later. They were not written by Paul. They were written by a scribe later on. And so then they call this the inerrant word of God, and they use these scriptures to suppress, subjugate, and silence women in the churches. And yet, these things weren't even written by Paul. The book of Timothy, where it subjugates women again, also not written by Paul. Bible scholars know these things, but church leaders don't want you to know, because they want to maintain their patriarchy. They want to maintain this as the word of God, when it just flat out isn't on any level. So let's move on to patriarchal family dynamics. Many women have been raised in families where fathers and male figures had the final say. You may have seen a father that goes to work, comes home, mom has dinner on the table, he sits and watches TV, reads the newspaper, whatever. And the wife, or your mother, did everything. She was the one that took you to a dentist appointment or a doctor's appointment. She was the one that was showing up at your school for parent-teacher conference meetings. Your mom literally carried the entire load of the family on her shoulders. And therefore, you get this idea. And sometimes these are in religious families and sometimes they're not. Expressing strong opinions or asserting boundaries is often met with shame, guilt, or punishment when women do it. When a woman tries to assert boundaries, a lot of times in a patriarchal marriage, they get walked all over. Women who challenge these family traditions, these religious expectations, are labeled as disrespectful, rebellious, unrighteous, sinful. Women who want respect, women who want to have equal division of domestic labor and taking care of the children, they are considered sinful in these patriarchal dynamics. And a lot of women are saying they feel like they are married single mothers. And you know what? They are. Women have been married single mothers for decades. And a lot of people say these are traditional family gender roles. That's not true. these gender roles were not around even 100 years ago. Because men weren't picking up their briefcase and going off to work in an office 100 years ago. They were horseshoers. They were working out in the fields as farmers. They were family-owned businesses. Someone owned the local market in town. Children could go out and help their fathers work on the farm, or a child would be playing outside as the dad is working, you know, working on creating horseshoes or whatever. Families were kept together. And yeah, mothers, women were doing more of the cooking and that inside, but children were back and forth between mom and dad. This idea of a man going to work and doing this kind of thing, this is a relatively new thing. These gender roles are not what people try to tell you that they are. And then we have women living in oppressive or abusive marriages. And I have seen women in my own life living in these situations, and they think it's normal and they think it's fine. And I think this is something that you really need to reflect on. Is this the type of marriage that you are in? Because a lot of women don't realize it. Many women are conditioned to believe their worth is tied to their role as a wife and mother, not as an individual. Your identity is not you as an individual. Your personality, your talents, your gifts, your intelligence, your wisdom, all of the things that make you who you are as an individual, that's not your worth in a patriarchal or oppressive system. Your worth is tied to being a wife, which is just a relationship. That's not an identity. A lot of women feel like they're failures because their husband is a jerk. He's not pleased with her in some way. You're not failing, he is. The system is failing you. Speaking up in this type of relationship will be met with dismissal, ridicule, or even control tactics like gaslighting. A lot of women experience this, and I've seen it happen to women around me being dismissed. I've seen a woman where mold is growing in the house because there's a crack in a window and she wants it, a new window, she wants it replaced. And the husband doesn't want to spend the money. And her concern, valid concerns, are dismissed. And you see it over and over and over again because they're not partners. Leaving oppressive and abusive marriages is often discouraged by family members, especially if they are religious. And there's a lot of pressure in society to, quote, make it work. Again, women are being told to sit down, shut up, and put up with whatever you got. I see women being abused. I see women who full on know that they are being cheated on. And some of them, not even that he's cheating with one woman, but sometimes a handful. Yes. And you know what? They stay. Part of it because they don't have job experience, they don't have education, and they don't know how they're going to provide for their children. And so they live in these abusive, horrific situations. And in Christian religions, they will tell you that God hates divorce. And they will try to force women to make it work, even if she's being physically harmed. How do I know that? Because I went to ministry school and because I became a pastor. And this is exactly what I was taught. I would never counsel a woman to stay in an abusive marriage, even though I was told to do so in ministry school. A lot of women are being ignored and undervalued in the workplace. Their ideas are dismissed. Their voices are talked over and their leadership is questioned. A lot of women have had this experience, and it may not be every woman's experience, but it definitely is because we still live in a very patriarchal culture. Women are not valued as equals, and we do shoulder some of that blame. I am not putting all of that blame on men, and a lot of women do. All of the blame on men, but you know what? Some of the blame is on us because we don't respect ourselves, and therefore they don't respect us. We fall in line with their patriarchal ideas of consuming us. We allow men to consume us in various ways. And when you are an object to be consumed, you are never going to be considered an equal. And until women step up and demand respect for themselves in the way that they show up in the world, it isn't going to happen. It has to start with us. In fact, there are studies that show in corporate meetings, men interrupt women far more often than they will interrupt other men. Did you know that? I have seen this happen in religious meetings that I've been in, but as studies are showing, this is what's happening in corporate America still. Women are expected to be agreeable, accommodating, and not too aggressive in their ambition. When women are powerful and they are leaders, they are seen as aggressive or arrogant or something like that. Whereas men that are very powerful and very successful, they're just seen as being powerful and successful, and they're respected for it. Women are not. And we need to recognize these systems of religious conditioning, marriages, relationships, and in the workplace. So the first part of reclaiming your voice after being silenced is seeing where it's being silenced. And that's why we started with this. You need to see, where has your voice been silenced? What messages have you internalized about your voice, your worth, and your power? I want you to reflect on those questions, because the first step in reclamation of anything is actually seeing where you lost it. Seeing where you started believing that you didn't have a voice. And then, once you've recognized where, were you raised in a high demand religion? Were you raised in a religion where men were prioritized over women? Or did you just notice that in your household? Maybe you weren't a religious household, but maybe your dad just acted that way at home. I don't know. Maybe you saw it in the workplace. Where are you seeing it? And then, once you recognize where you got this programming from, then we start rebuilding the confidence and recognizing your own value. You were never meant to play small. You were made to shine. You have talents and gifts and intelligence and wisdom and intuition and so much depth to you that is meant to be seen by the world. It isn't meant to just be within the walls of your own home. So often, patriarchal cultures, religions, and structures want women's talents and abilities and intellect and everything to stay within the walls of their own home, like a cage. You were never meant to be in a cage. Everything that you are is meant to be shared with the world at large. In the workplace, wherever those talents and abilities and intellect and all that you are will benefit people, there is a space for you. There are people who need what you are. You were never meant to be stuck within a cage. When you've spent years being silenced, dismissed, or made to feel like you're, quote, too much, maybe you are opinionated. Maybe you talk a lot. Maybe you're very emotionally connected. And people tell you you're too emotional. You're too opinionated. You're too loud. You're too intense. You talk too much. You're too much of something. It's easy to start believing that you don't matter, that you are too much. But you're not. All of the things that someone tries to tell you are too much are your gifts. It's what you are meant to do. But patriarchy wants you to stay small. Hide your emotions. Don't share your opinion too much. Don't be too loud. Don't talk too much. I say to hell with that. Your value lies. They see your value as lying in you keeping peace, you staying agreeable, you fading into the background. You fade into the background so your husband can shine. You fade into the background so your coworkers can shine. So your coworkers can get promoted. No more. That is not where your value lies. That is your value to the patriarchy. We ain't supporting the patriarchy here. You were never meant to shrink, and that is not where your value lies. You are made to shine. You are born with a voice that carries power, wisdom, and divine authority. Yes, I said that. Your voice carries divine authority, no less than a man's does. That power didn't disappear. It was simply buried under layers of conditioning and you just trying to survive in a world that didn't want your voice. Reclaiming your voice starts with remembering who you are beneath all of that. It isn't about becoming someone new. It's about coming home to who you truly are. And I want you to say this with me out loud. My voice matters. My opinions matter. My truth is powerful. Repeat it. Say it until it feels true. My voice matters. My opinions matter. I matter. Say it until it shakes loose the shame, the fear, and the self-doubt that never belonged to you. Because the world doesn't need a quieter version of you. It needs the whole you. It needs the authentic you. Confident, clear, and unapologetically you. That's what the world needs. The patriarchy doesn't want it. And that's okay, because we aren't here to support them. So, healing the wounds of being silenced. How do you do that? Well, there's a lot of ways you can. There are faster ways, like hypnotherapy and subconscious reprogramming, which is something that I do work with a lot of women. We can have profound progress in a quicker amount of time, because when we work with the subconscious mind doesn't track time. It doesn't matter if the programming has been going on for 30 years. So that is one of the ways that I use for myself. I actually create my own hypnotherapy audios for myself so I can hypnotize myself, work with my own subconscious mind. But I do this with a lot of women too, and it really fast tracks their healing. But there are many ways that you can do it on your own as well. Journaling for self-discovery. I love intuitive journaling where you just let everything out, or you start intuitively writing just to discover who you are, whatever intention that you put into that intuitive journaling. It can be very cathartic if there's a lot of pain underneath. It can be insightful if that's the intention. It's a way that you are reclaiming the voice that they tried to silence in you. It's not just journaling. This is not like, today I, you know, went to the grocery store. And this is not your teenage diary, okay? This is sacred excavation of the woman beneath the silence. The woman who's been there all along, waiting for the moment when it is safe to speak. Discover who you are. Peel back the layers. Cathartic. Like journaling, so I've done this before. It can be really powerful. There's something I am feeling, maybe anxiety, or it starts to get really intense. I'm having ruminating thoughts. I'm getting anxiety. There's something bubbling up underneath the surface if that's what's going on. Yes, we can do hypnotherapy and we can work with that. And if you're interested in that, schedule a one-on-one with me. If you want to find the source through journaling, just start writing. And all of a sudden, whatever's bubbling up under the surface that's causing that anxiety is going to come out. Don't silence it. Don't censor it. Remember, this is your voice. If you want to swear, swear. If you want to write hateful things about someone that hurt you or silenced you or whatever it is, write it. All the hateful, you can swear like a sailor, honey. You do what you got to do to get it out. Censoring and silencing is not the answer here. It is safe to speak in this journal. It is safe. Let the voice out. You may start to cry. You may want to scream. That's okay too. Then you may have times where you're feeling an intuitive knowing, a pull, and you go to your intuitive journaling with the intention of, what direction do I need to take? Maybe there's a relationship that's kind of not really seeming safe or healthy. And all of a sudden, the clarity of where you need to go comes out in this intuitive journaling. There's so much that can be done. Journaling is not about what we used to think it was, writing in our diary about the cute boy or something. Okay? This is very powerful. But I want to tell you, every time you were interrupted, every time you were told to lower your voice, every time your truth made other people uncomfortable, you learned that silence was safer than self-expression. You were trained to keep that voice silent, and it is time to let it free. You were never meant to stay quiet. You were born to be heard. So let's begin the sacred work of remembering who you are. Are you loud? I don't know. Maybe you are. Maybe someone kept telling you to lower your voice and be quiet. Maybe it's time to let it out. Maybe you used to just speak your truth and speak it loud, and people told you we don't talk like that or we don't talk about that. Whatever it is, you are born to be heard. Let's begin the remembering. So I want to give you a couple of journaling prompts to just kind of crack you wide open and get this flowing and kind of show you how to do this. So number one, I want you to write when was the first time you felt silenced? Now, you may be driving, you may be walking and listening to this. This is something that you may need to come back to. But when was the first time you felt silenced? Let that memory rise in your mind. Was it at home? Was it at church, at school? I want you to speak to that moment right now, not with shame, but with truth. Write this in a journal. Think about it. Say it out loud wherever you are right now. You can come back to this if you need to. Write it out. How it felt. How did it affect you? And then number two, I want you to write, what parts of yourself did you suppress to make other people comfortable? Were you loud when you talked? Were you sarcastic sometimes? Were you bold in what you said? Do you just say it like it is? Or maybe you were sensitive. You're made fun of, you're too sensitive or emotional. Maybe it was your intelligence. Write it down. Give a voice to those parts of you. Because every part of your boldness or your sensitivity or your emotion or your intelligence, whatever it is, those are all parts of you. They may make other people uncomfortable, but they're a part of you, and they deserve to be expressed and seen. Then I want you to write about what you would say if you did not have any fear of judgment. What message is sitting inside of you that you're not letting out because you fear people will judge you? Don't censor yourself. Let it pour out of you. Let the rage, the longing, the truth. Maybe it's a message that you've been holding on to. Maybe it is just wanting to voice anger at the person that abused you, or the person that neglected you, that dismissed you. There, whatever that might be that you fear saying, let it pour out. Let your truth pour out. Let the rage pour out. Whatever it is that needs to be said, write it in your journal. No fear of judgment. This is your space. You are safe, and this is your reclamation of your voice. Maybe there was abuse you never dared tell your parents about or anyone. Maybe it needs to come out. And maybe the only place you feel safe is in this journal. And maybe you can burn those pages afterwards. That's fine too. So that no one finds it. But let your voice come out. Let the anger and the rage or whatever it is come out. And then I want to talk a little bit about inner child work. This is a sacred homecoming. Inner child work is important because a lot of our default programming comes from our childhood. And a lot of times the way we show up in life, the way we play small, the way we silence our voice, the way that we are self-conscious and insecure, the way that we struggle to even love ourselves because we weren't loved as a child or we didn't feel that we were loved as a child, all of that needs to be brought back in, and you need to look at it through your adult eyes and see it for what it really was. Because the actions of anyone in your life, the bully at school, your parents, or anyone else, their behavior towards you had nothing to do with your value, nothing to do with your lovability. It had to do with what was inside of them. So I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to see that little girl. What were those experiences that shaped you? Maybe this little girl once raised her hand only to be ignored. Maybe there was a bully that made her feel like she wasn't worth anything. Maybe it was a parent's abuse or neglect. A teen who had to swallow her truth to avoid rejection. The woman who apologizes for simply existing. Whatever it is that comes up as you close your eyes, if it's safe for you to do so, of course. I want you to take her hand and I want you to look her in the eyes, whether she's the little girl or she's an older adult. And I want you to say, I hear you. I believe you. And I will never silence you again. She has waited your whole life to be protected, to be heard, to be honored and set free. Let this moment be the beginning of that sacred reunion, because you are not broken. You are lovable. You are beautiful. You are divine. And you are returning to your authenticity. Your voice, your wild, wise, radiant voice is ready to rise. And you can open your eyes if you were able to close them. It's time to build unshakable self-worth. Reclaiming the power that they told you to hide, whoever it was, wherever you got that message from. Real confidence doesn't come from praise, likes on social media, or being chosen for anything. Real confidence comes from deep, immovable inner knowing. You know that you have worth. That's where it comes from. Your worth is not up for discussion or debate. It is there no matter who sees it. Even if you don't see it, it's still there. But the biggest part of building unshakable self-worth is that you know it, that you see it. No one can give it to you. No one can take it from you. The only reason you don't, quote, have self-worth is because you don't see it. You have bought into the lies of every toxic person who have shown up in your life who made you think you didn't have worth when you did. You believed them. It is time to say, I am not taking your toxic crap. I am giving that back to you. I have worth no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter how you treat me. I know I have worth. It's an inner knowing. A soul level remembrance that you are worthy simply because you exist. You don't earn worth by being perfect. You don't earn worth by pleasing someone else. You remember it by peeling back every lie you were taught to believe about yourself. Let me say that again. You do not earn your worth. It is inherent. You remember it by peeling back every lie you were taught to believe about yourself. This is the sacred work of building unshakable self-worth. This is not surface level. This is not self-worth that I get from having men look at me as I walk down the street. This is not self-worth that I get by getting praise from my parents or getting a raise at work or having a partner who is satisfied with me. It's not performative. The sacred work of building unshakable worth is rebirth. So what practices can you do to kind of rewire this within yourself? Speak truth into your body out loud. Out loud, not in your mind. Every morning, look yourself in the mirror and speak to your soul, not just to your surface. I am enough as I am. My presence holds power. I no longer shrink to be acceptable. I rise to be unforgettable. Feel the words land in your cells. This is energetic reprogramming. Every morning, you can write whatever affirmations that you want that resonate with you. But I want you to stand in that mirror and I want you to look yourself in the eye and I want you to claim it. I am enough, exactly as I am. You see how I said that? Yell it if you have to. Believe it. Then write the truth you are afraid to believe. Each day, write down what you truly believe about who you are becoming. Not what your mother believed, not what religion told you, what you know. What do you know that is amazing about yourself? I'll give you an example. And I am not doing this in a sense of bragging. I am showing you how you see yourself, you see your worth. If I were to do this and write down, I am an amazing pianist. I love to play the piano. I am a great singer and I love to sing. I am great at knitting. I am a great public speaker. Write it and read it back every day until it feels like oxygen. Write who you are. Claim it. All of it. You can even write down, I talk loud. I talk loud and it's amazing. That's an amazing part of me. Write it. Read it. Embody it. Embrace it. Love it. Practice saying no. I know. You just got a little tightening there, right? Not only do I want you to practice say no, I don't want you to give an explanation of why. Just say no. That's it. Every time you say no to what dishonors you, say no to something, you know, when you are overwhelmed, overworked, exhausted, this is not the time to say yes to something. It's not that this person is bad for asking, but you can't show up in the way that you need to for those people anyway. So when you say no, you are saying yes to your healing. You are saying yes to respecting those people because you can't show up in the way that they would need you to. Your boundaries are sacred. You do not need to justify, explain, or soften them. You don't. When you know your worth and your value, you don't need to justify yourself or what you do or why you do what you do. Stand tall in your no as a full sentence. And I am guilty of this. I over-explained so many things in my life. And do you know what? Over-explaining is a trauma response. Over-explaining shows me that you never felt valued. And you know what? People never believed you. People never accepted what you said. And so you feel like you have to explain your existence, explain your reasoning, explain yourself. You don't need to do that. Just No, is a full sentence. What is one thing you've always wanted to say, but you were too afraid to say? I want you to write that in your journal. Speak it. Let it be messy. Let it be raw. Let it set you free. And I know I've talked about several journaling things. This is another one. It's very similar to the others. But you know what? I can guarantee you there's a lot of things that you've wanted to say that you were too afraid to say. Let it be messy. Let it be raw. These can be life-altering practices if you will actually do them in your journal. I promise you. The weight that will be lifted off of your shoulders when you let it go. You don't find your joy, your voice, by waiting for permission. You find your voice by declaring, I'm done being quiet. That's it. Don't wait for someone to give you permission or someone to tell you that your voice is valuable. It just is. So I'd love to know if you guys would like a companion voice activation meditation or a printable workbook for this section. I would love to put one of those out on the Substack. So the Substack is Awaken with Soulful Insights. So if you want to go there, it may be in the Substack. But let me know if that's something that you guys would be interested in, a voice activation meditation or a workbook or something like that to help you with this. So I know a lot of women struggle with their voice. There's a lot of women that aren't aware that they are silencing themselves. They are not aware that they are playing small because they are told that it is righteous and it is good. But for those of you that are ready for this, let me know. So you can connect with me at Tandy Hartle on Instagram. Shoot me a direct message there. Join my Substack, Awaken with Soulful Insights. And I would love to connect with you on some other platforms. So I want to talk a little bit about stepping into your feminine power without apology, because when we're talking about being silenced, the biggest part of us that's silenced is that feminine power. It's not necessarily the feminine side of us, because a lot of men want to consume the feminine parts of us. Men will consume you on every level, from the physical all the way down to thinking that you are a wife servant. So, but what truly you need to step into is your feminine power. True feminine power is not about being polite, soft, or agreeable. I'm sorry, it isn't. Sometimes we are polite and sometimes that's appropriate. But when someone, there are times when it's not. Some man is catcalling you, man, flip around and tell him like it is. You don't be soft. You don't be agreeable. Put him in his place, honey. Put him in his place. That is the way that you are teaching men how to treat women. True feminine power is bold, it's intuitive, and it's unshakable. It is. And when I was working as a midwife and watching women in the power of bringing life into this world, women's power is bold and it is unshakable. It is a force that is awe-inspiring to be in the presence of. But most women don't stay in that bold, powerful place in their lives. They shrink back down. Owning your voice means no longer shrinking yourself to fit others' expectations. And this was hard for me for a long time. But when I left high-demand religion, this was a reclamation of my voice. I'm not here to fit into the expectations of my family members, my parents, or anyone else. I found truth, and I wanted to live in that truth and honor what I knew to be true. And I want you to start speaking up in your relationships, at work, and with your family without fear. Now, I'm not talking about being disrespectful at work and getting yourself fired. That's not what I'm talking about. But you need to stand in your voice. When there's something at work that needs to be addressed, say it. That your voice is important, and you need to speak up in your relationships with friends or with your partner. if you are not, if the workload is being put squarely on your shoulders, you need to speak up. And if that isn't respected, you need to take that wherever it needs to go. But you need to set boundaries and walk away without guilt with any relationship where that person is not willing to respect you and respect your voice. You do not owe anyone your silence. There is nothing wrong with you standing up and saying, this is not okay with me. Or I don't feel respected when you're doing this. So, you know, get comfortable with making other people uncomfortable. It doesn't matter. You need to stand in who you are, expect others to respect you, respect your voice, respect your desires, support you in your life. If they're not willing to do that and they're uncomfortable with you starting to stand up for yourself, then some decisions need to be made. Stop explaining and justifying yourself. You do not need to explain yourself or justify yourself to anyone. And when you are speaking in conversations, whether it's at work, with your partner, family members, whoever, I want you to use direct language. Do not say, I'm sorry. Do not say, I just think. Erase those from your vocabulary. You don't apologize. Just use direct language. I want you to hold eye contact when you're speaking with the person. Do not allow interruptions and hold your ground. Do not allow other people to dismiss you. Now, if you have done this in the past, they're not going to like it. I have seen women where they've literally caught their husband with inappropriate texts to another woman, showing a very deep relationship. And he flies off the handle and tells her that she's, you know, makes too big of a deal out of things and all this kind of stuff, right? And what does she do? She quiets back down and allows him to carry on with his relationship. And she fades into the background and just bees the wife at home. That's exactly what he wants. Hold your ground. When you know something's going on, do not let people get away with it or walk all over you. So where are you holding back your voice the most? What relationship? And I want you to think about one small way that you can start asserting yourself today. What relationship and what area are you allowing someone to walk all over you? You're holding back and you're not saying what you know to be true. I want you to start reclaiming that. Start stepping forward and holding your ground. The next aspect, this is difficult for a lot of women, and it takes a lot of strength. If you need help and support, I have various ways to offer that support to you. But leaving patriarchal religions, finding your own path, leaving toxic relationships, that's what we're going to be talking about, leaving toxic environments. Walking away from religion can be really difficult. It can feel terrifying, but in the end, it's very liberating. Your spirituality is yours to define. Religion wants to keep you afraid because they need you. Religion needs to ride on your back, right? I know in my religion, it's the women that are making all the food for the funerals, cleaning up after all the funerals that are held in the church. It's the women that are planning all of the church parties and celebrations. They don't have any decision-making capacity or anything else, but they do a lot of the heavy lifting. And they need you to be in that seat, in that pew on Sunday. And so they make you think that you need them. And you don't. So I want you to ask a couple questions. Does this belief system empower me or control me? If your religion doesn't want your voice, if women are not allowed to sit at the table and make decisions, if women are not allowed to be in positions of leadership in your religion, it's not there to empower you. And I will tell you that this subjugation is not of God. If this system oppresses you and silences your voice, it's not of God. It's not a healthy environment. If your religion does not support the equality of men and women on every single level, from the leadership, top, tippy top leadership of your religion all the way down into your marriage, if they are not supporting partnership of men and women, not a good place for a woman to be. Does it encourage you to trust yourself? Or does it make you dependent on external authority? There's a lot of questions to ask yourself about where you are in a religious organization. If they're silencing your voice, if they are stripping you of any ability, decision-making ability or leadership ability, telling you you can't trust yourself, there's some questions that need to be asked and evaluated, because this is a toxic environment. Only you can decide how you want to handle that, but you need to recognize it for what it is. And then I want to look at releasing family conditioning that has belittled or silenced you. You do not have to carry the beliefs, traditions, or expectations of your family. And I'm talking about from your parents. Your parents may have had toxic cycles. You may have grown up with a narcissistic parent. You may have grown up with parents that were the because I said so kind of parents. Parents who never listened to your struggles, never heard you. When you cried, they're calling you a baby, telling you to be quiet, or I'll give you something to cry about. I don't know, but it is okay to break cycles and create a new path for yourself. And that may be, I'm not taking my kids to the church you went to. That may be, I no longer sit down and let you treat me like that or talk to me like that, and I will not let you talk to my kids like that. I don't know what the patterns are, but you're not betraying your family by choosing yourself. Allow them to deal with their own mess. And if they can't be respectful of you and your choices and who you are, again, you need to decide how much of a role they play in your life. And then we look at toxic relationships that diminish you. If a relationship requires you to shrink, it's not love. If you have a partner, when you discover texts that appear to be inappropriate, and you're told that you're too emotional and you make a bigger deal out of things than they are, if this person is not taking responsibility and giving direct answers to you, they're not being honest with you. Also, they don't respect you. If you are the one shouldering all of the domestic labor, all of the raising of the children, if you are a married single mother, if you are being yelled at, belittled, dismissed, you deserve a partner who values your voice and respects your autonomy. You are allowed to leave, even if you've been conditioned to stay. I know so many women who say, I don't have a degree, I don't have a job, I don't know how. You know what? There are so many amazing ways that you can provide for you and your children if you'll just open your eyes and look. I promise you that. But you don't deserve that. So I want you to reflect on, what is one belief or relationship or expectation that you're ready to walk away from? Think about that. You've got to walk away from some things, even if it's just beliefs that you've held about yourself. Your voice is powerful. You matter, and you were never meant to be silent. So I want you to set one boundary this week that protects your voice and your energy. I want you to evaluate your relationships to see what relationships maybe need to take more of a back seat. Maybe there's a relationship that needs to end. Only you can decide, but I want you to look at them. Follow Soulful Insights for more episodes on breaking free and reclaiming your truth. You can check me out on Substack, Awaken with Soulful Insights. That's what we are on Substack. And follow me on Instagram at Tandy Hartle. I would love to connect with you on more platforms. And one final thought. Reclaiming your voice is the most sacred act of self-liberation. The moment you stop asking for permission to speak, you become unstoppable.